Wonderful. The recording has started. So thank you, everyone, and welcome for our first session, Module 1 of the Cash Flow Creation Bootcamp. I first of all want to say a heartfelt thank you to each and every one of you who has put your trust in me to spend this time over the next 4 weeks, actually five. It's going to have a bonus week on June the 18th. Where we are going to be breaking down the ideas, the misconceptions, the challenges to cash flow, what's causing cash flow blockages to happen and how we can open that up, and, of course, how to bring in more, because that's what we all want. We're all here because we want to start to create more income for ourselves and do it in a way that's really feels good to us, that expresses who we are and how we want to be in the world and how we want to interact with one another. So this is going to be a really good and I feel a very deep and intensive 4 weeks together, actually 5 weeks together, but we're going to have at least three more sessions. The second, third, and fourth module is going to be really breaking down conversations, connecting marketing, sales, blockages around those types of issues that come up for us, and move through them, and that you can get to a place where you can feel more comfortable about the process and actually do the things more easily without so much effort and strain to create more in your life. And again, as I said before, this is a very powerful topic. If any of you have been following me for a while, you know that I just came off of a huge event at the first of this month, the Monetize Your Gifts Masterclass, which all of you have been bonused at. As my gift to you, my gift back to you. If for any reason you had not received that link to access the over 15 hours of training and the summary sheets and everything that came with that program, please feel free to email me at rodney@rodneywashington.com, and I will make sure that you have a passcode to get into that program and access that material. Some of the things I will be talking about in this program will echo what you heard in the masterclass program if you were on the live calls or you've listened to some of the replays. I feel that I wanted something that would complement what conversation was started, but I wanted to have this time to work with you individually and, or in this small group setting to really answer your questions directly and work through the blocks. So I just want to tell you really briefly how the program is going to go. Basically, for the next 4 weeks, as I said, starting tonight, we'll be meeting every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern. Each call will run roughly between 75 minutes to maybe 90 minutes. It depends upon how many questions that I have. If you are not able to stay on for the full call, you know, you're more than welcome to hang up or go, you know, do whatever you need to do for the evening. Everything is being recorded. Replays will be posted on the webpage. If you're looking at the webcast, I will leave the replay up for 24 hours. You can download the MP3 that way. Or you can go into the member area of the website, which I've all given you access to, and I will be posting the replays there within 24 hours as well. On the webpage, if you are on the webcast, the Instant Teleseminar webcast, I will be taking those replays or make them unavailable for download with after a full day, but they will always be from now on and forever on that password-protected member area. So if you don't download it from the webcast page here, you'll always be able to get it. I will always leave that there accessible to you. I also have created a Facebook group. I know some of you are on Facebook, some of you aren't, but it's just a way. It's not a requirement. You don't have to be on the group, but if you are active on Facebook and you want to communicate with me and with some of your fellow students, you're more than welcome to join us there. I've sent you all an invitation. I couldn't find each of you individually on Facebook, so I just used the email address that I had to see if I could find you that way. So you're more than welcome to join us there. And I recommend that you get involved in that because I will continue monitoring what you're doing and supporting you even after the class is over. So I want to let you know that you won't be alone after it's all finished. It won't be intensive calls like this every week, but I still will be available in that area. And that will be at least until the foreseeable future, which will probably be at least the next up to probably a year. So, again, I want to make that available to you as well. So I want to then, after we go through each week's session, like I said, I'll be delivering content for about a half an hour or so, and then we'll move right into Q&A. You're welcome to ask me questions via phone if you're on the phone line. Or you can do it via the webcast by typing in your question there, and I will address it on the call. And that's basically how it's going to work. So tonight we are actually moving into Module 1. Module 1 is going to be on adopting a cash flow creation mindset. I feel that there was no other way to really start this program, because this information and the things we're going to talk about tonight is going to affect all of the things that you do for the remainder of this program and beyond. And so what I have an outline, I've already kind of written out for you what I want to cover tonight. I have given access to you, available to download, your first worksheet there, and you did receive that in the member area, but there's also a button here if you're on the webcast to download that as well. And you can have that handy while we're going over things tonight, because I'm going to be going to that a little bit once I finish up what I'm going to be sharing with you. So with that being said, let's move right into it. So the first thing that I want all of you to take a moment to think about, and as I'm going to be sharing some things about myself with you, is that wherever you are in your cash flow situation, wherever it is right now at the moment, I want to make something very clear that I know for myself to be true, is that your story, your individual story about money and how you're connecting to it is affecting the actual results that you're experiencing right now with money as it's showing up in your life right now. So the first thing we want to really focus on tonight is getting really clear on what that story is. And the reason why that story piece is so important, and I'm going to share mine with you in just a moment, your story affects your beliefs. So whatever's going on for you, whatever that history is, whatever that story is, that's affecting the beliefs that you have, and usually there's one or two very prevailing beliefs that you have. And those beliefs affect your decisions. And the decisions that you make affect, or they dictate, your actions. So I want you to write that down. My story affects my beliefs. My beliefs affect my decisions. And my decisions dictate my actions. This is extremely important to get very clear on now, because wherever there is a lack of action, or an action that's not working in your for your betterment, is a direct result, or a direct reflection of whatever belief that you have that you have made conscious or unconscious decisions about. They are not always going to show up as a direct verbal decision that you will make. More often than not, it shows up as a result of a feeling that comes up for you when you think about this particular topic or something that you need to do. And when that feeling comes up, it then affects it dictates the action that you'll take. Now, I'll share, starting this off to illustrate with myself, I'll share my story with you. For me, growing up, my belief around money was honestly, quite frankly, quite mixed. My parents, you know, I wasn't, we weren't rich, but we weren't poor. So I would say that we were definitely in that middle class range. My father was, you know, very, you know, good about making money. He didn't gamble or, you know, squander money. He was actually good about it, but he definitely didn't have any difficulty with spending money and enjoying the money that he made. So his story for me, what I got as a kid, was that, you know, he could make it. It did set up an idea that maybe I couldn't make as much as him, which I know for some of us, a lot of us, that's our story, that we can't outmake what our parents made. You know, he had a very dominant personality, and it was definitely, you know, this feeling was very clear, is that, you know, I'm the breadwinner and that's it, you know, and there was no deviation from that plan or that idea. Whatever was needed, provided, was always there. There was some room for wants, but for the most part, everything was always, that needed to be there was always there. My mother, on the other hand, you know, who didn't have to work because my father worked, and back in that time, you know, you could be a one-income family and it worked. My mother was very, very frugal, borderline cheap when it came to money. She didn't like to spend money. Her reactions to money were very, to the spending of money and the acquisition of money was very dramatic. From the respect that I can't lose anything, I can't spend too much, I can't do anything that doesn't make sense. So my growing up experience with money was, you know, you either made it and you were able to do some things you wanted, but it was always there for what you needed, or you could not, under any circumstances, unless it was explained and laid out in detail as to why you needed to spend this money. You know, that was my mother's story. So, and if any money was ever quote-unquote lost, like if she lost some money for whatever reason, fell out of her purse or whatever the case may be, it was caused for having to go and take, and I'm being very honest and blunt here, it was to the point that she needed to go take a Valium and go lay down, because it really just absolutely devastated her to lose any money at all. So my story with money was very much like that. If it was any money that was lost, I was going to suffer. From my mother's side and my family's, my father's side was, is that money was there for what you needed and some of what you wanted, but it was always there for what you needed. So as I grew up and started looking at my own money story, my own money history, I've replicated that in my own reality and my life growing up, is that whenever I need money, it's always there, but there was always very little for wants. Wants were not, if they weren't justified, then it was easily dismissed or forgotten. If I lost any money for any reason, it would upset me. Now, I wasn't as dramatic as my mother, where I needed to go take a Valium and go lay down, but I was quite upset if I lost money. As I've gotten older and learned, you know, that I don't need to be that dramatic with money, you know, losses are not as traumatizing as that. But I realized that that was what my money story was. Now, how it related into my business and my actions and decisions that I made in business is that I felt that I was running my business with one foot on the brake and one foot on the gas. And if you heard what I shared in that story, you can see how I could have made that decision. I was fine with doing things to support my business up to the point of supplying my needs. And as long as nothing was lost, meaning that, you know, a client failed to pay me or say, you know, I put money in my bank account and maybe I overdraft a check and then, you know, I had overdraft fees I wasn't expecting to have come in, or an unexpected bill showed up, whatever the case may be. Those things all represented loss to me. So it was always that I had just what I needed, but there was no room whatsoever for anything that constituted a loss. And if I experienced something that I looked at as a loss, then it made it harder for me to go out and do anything more to bring in more. Because, again, the thing that I was willing to go as far as I had to go to get what I needed, my wants were not important. They were secondary. And so growing up, what I began to realize was that you don't focus on what you want. You focus on what you need, i.e. survival. And that's where it stays. And it goes no further than that. So in illustrating my story, you can see how I created my own ceiling and, quite frankly, my own floor. My own ceiling was get your needs met, wants are not necessary. If you get something of what you want, you're fine with it. Be fine with that. Be okay with that. Don't go for anything more. And under no circumstances do you ever lose anything, because you may not be able to replace it. Okay. So what that did for me was it taught me that I'm living my life and basing my decisions on where I'm at in that spectrum. As long as I'm not losing, I'm feeling okay. And as long as my needs are met, I'm feeling okay. When my needs are not met, i.e. I can't pay a bill, for an example, then my decision affects my action, and my action is, what do I need to do to bring in what I need to pay this bill? Okay. And you can see by me sharing that how limiting that is, because it always keeps you at a place where you go no further. It's literally like the story of the elephant with the rope tied around his foot. After a while, he stops pulling, because in his mind, he's gotten it that I can't go any further than this. This is as far as I can go. And I remember growing up as a teenager, whenever I had money in excess of what I quote-unquote needed, I had to find a way to get rid of it. I had to find a way to spend it, because I'm not supposed to have any more than this. I have what I need. I don't need any more. I need to spend this. I literally would feel uncomfortable about it. Now, if I spent it, and I spent it for something that I quote-unquote wanted or paid a bill with, that I was fine. If I lost it, I was devastated. So what happens is, I want you to take a moment to think about it. You can type into the chat box if you're on the webcast. What is a piece of your money story? Think about your money story. Well, let me back it up. Think about your money story as I shared mine, and share with me in the chat if you'd like. What's a decision that you've made about money? And then once you write that decision down, then you can start to see, this is how that decision is affecting my actions. Because as we move through the next 3 weeks together in this program, we're going to be focusing heavy on actions. But if this story piece is not handled and looked at and addressed, I can tell you everything in the world about how to do marketing and sales, because we're going to be talking about that quite heavily. But if that money story piece isn't handled, you're going to be doing that level of pullback. You're going to pull, you're going to push, and then you're going to put the brakes on. You're going to drive, and you're going to stop. And in order to move through that, you've got to be willing to stay in action. Understand that story is just that, it's a story. But you're an adult now, and you can make new decisions based on what you now know. And once you get clear about that and you start to see what you're doing, when that stuff comes up for you, you can what you want to do is get into acknowledgement. So when you see yourself pulling back on making that call or sending that email or asking someone to work with you, you know, or saving that, you know, saving a piece of money for something that you want, or asking for something, when you see yourself starting to resist, you can go, oh, that's just my money story stuff. I'm now choosing to make a new decision, and that new decision is going to now affect my new action. And we're going to get deep into this. We're going to talk all about, you know, sales and sales conversations and what that actually means. I want to bust a lot of myths around marketing and sales and what that means, because there's a lot of stuff that comes up for us around these things. And I want to tell you the truth about what those two things are so that we can move past it and move into flow, which is why you all are here. So what I want to do is I want to just check over to the chat and see if there's any question, or just what you've shared so far, what you've gotten so far out of what I've shared. Let me go to Q&A and take a look at that and see if there's anything there. Okay. Okay, I'm not sure. I have Susan. I'm saying, can you repeat that, please? I'm not sure what that is. What I'll do is just write your questions down when I open up the wire. Or type it in again, because I'm not sure exactly what point I shared that you're referring to. So if you could type that in again for me, and I'll take a look at that. I got you. Okay. Okay. All right. So I'll just share a little piece of it right now. You know, Susan shared with us that earning money is dangerous and brings in pain and punishment. So when you – now, you can imagine how, if that's the way you think, you can imagine how in the place that she's in now, she's not in danger by asking someone to work with her, by asking someone – not by sharing her gifts. It's not dangerous to do that. But that's the decision that is made, and that decision is affecting the action that she's taking. So by being able to get clear about that, when that feeling comes up, it's as simple as saying, that's just a story. That's not the reality of where I am right now. Every single one of you in this program has something that you do, a talent, a gift, a service, a product, whatever it is that you provide, that somebody out there has probably already purchased from you and they want more of. Okay? But you have to start making decisions that affect your actions, that keep you in front of those people, having that conversation, working with them. It's as simple, and I actually I'm going to skip ahead a little bit on what my outline is I have on here, because I want to talk about the definition of marketing and sales one-on-one. The real definition of marketing, and it is nothing more than this, you can write this down, is marketing is communication in action. That's all marketing is, whether it's a tweet, a Facebook post, an ad that you run, a flyer that you post up at a coffee shop, a phone call that you make to a prospective client. You know, again, I said a magazine ad, a phone call, like a teleseminar, a webinar, a speech you do in front of a group. You know, standing on the corner with a lemonade stand. It's, you know, all of those things is just communication. It's nothing more than that. I find that we make so much out of it, that we make it so much more complicated than it actually is. But it's nothing more than communication. We live in a world where we are not exchanging beads and corn, you know, and livestock for goods and services. You can't pay your rent with a cow and a bag of beans. You know, you don't go into a grocery store and say, well, I don't have, you know, the money to buy these groceries, but can I give you, you know, a bushel or whatever, or, you know, a piece of my land. We use money to do that. And yet we make so much out of making money that we're only supposed to ask for so much. We only can have so much. And it's just honestly, you know, if the limitations are there, it's because we place them there. We place them there. Every one of us is in whatever our story is. We're in a place where we are safe, for the most part. There might be something going on that I don't know about on this call, but for the most part, everyone is safe. Everyone is not being forced to do something for money that they don't want to do. And you're able to make choices about how you create it and how you spend it and how you interact with it. So the first step is to own that piece of it and know that the past does not equal my present and the present affects my future. So clarity on your present helps you to get clear about what actions you need to take to progress into your future. Okay? The next thing I want to talk about is the definition of sales. You know, we have so much stuff in our head around sales, and we approach sales from the perspective that we are doing something to somebody by selling them something. And I'll share something with you here that may challenge you a little bit, but it's something that I feel if we're going to really make, if you're going to make the most out of this time together, is that you're going to be challenged sometimes. And I think it's important to do that because it helps you to see what you're believing, which is affecting your decisions, which is affecting your actions. If you walk around with the idea that you hate to be sold to, I can almost guarantee you that you have a thing around sales, selling to someone else. Now, I have no doubt in my mind, and I know for a fact this is true, that there are some people out there that just, you know, they'll just talk a good game and they'll say all kinds of stuff that isn't true to try to sell you something. And clearly when that's happening, you can smell that's what that is. But what you do to how you handle that is you just make a decision. Sorry, this isn't for me. Thank you, though, for your offer. But this isn't a fit for me. But I appreciate it. And you walk away. And you walk away clean. Don't walk away with a bunch of stuff. Oh, my God, that person tried to sell me something. That person tried to make me buy something. No one can make you buy anything. Either you want it or you don't. But you can see how carrying that energy then affects your belief and affects your decision and affects your action. Because if you're walking around feeling like something as slimy has happened to you, then you make the unconscious decision that I don't want to be that to somebody else. So I'll stay quiet. I won't ask anyone to work with me. I won't put my work out there in the world to let people see it, i.e. marketing, communication. I won't do those things because I don't want to be that to someone else. But the thing of it is that I have no doubt in my mind that every single one of you on this call, whether you're listening to it live or the replay later, would do that anyway. You're not going to go and grab someone and put them in a room and hold them hostage and make them look at your portfolio and say you can't leave here until you sign this invoice. You know, no one's going to do that. So it's time to put some levity around this. We make it so much harder than it is, and it's just not that. Either you're interested or you aren't. And I'll even go a step further. If you hate asking people to work with you, if it makes you uncomfortable, you don't have a sales problem, but you might have a rejection problem. You might have a rejection problem. But I can even give you a tip on how to handle that. When you're clear about what you're bringing to someone, when you're clear about your value, when you're clear about that, clear and clean about that, no one can ever reject you. No one. You ask them to work with you if you find that they're a fit, if you both find that you're a fit. You do your presentation, you have your meeting, you make your phone call, however you send that email, however that communication is. Again, marketing is communication. And then you ask them to work with you. That's your sales conversation. And we're going to go a lot deeper and deeper into this in the next modules, but I want to stay on point with some of the things I have already outlined for you now. So when you ask someone to work with you and they say no, and they're saying it from a place of being clear and clean themselves, you just smile and say thank you. Okay, because what they're saying is, I'm just not interested right now, or maybe not at all. It's just not the right thing for me. But it doesn't mean that you stop asking. You still keep asking. Because that's how you communicate your value and attract more sales, which increases your cash flow. Okay? So, again, I can speak to this very passionately because for years I had that thing going on with me, this whole rejection thing. I don't want to ask anyone for anything because I don't want to be rejected. Well, when I finally realized that someone's quote-unquote rejection had nothing to do with me, and everything to do with what I was asking them was not a fit for them. Okay? Now, I'll tell you when sales can get slimy fast is when you're forcing someone something that they are saying, I don't want this, and you keep coming at them with, you know, different ways to, you know, package it and different ways to, you know, different price points, and they're saying no, 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 and you're not listening to them, then yes, that's when sales gets slimy. But when you are listening, emphasis on the word listening to them, to the people that you're talking to, and co-partnering with them, I spoke about this on the preview call with Selena, when you co-partner with them, with your client in finding out the best way to serve their needs. Write this down. The best way to serve their needs. You want to create a partnership with them so that you are now working with them to give them what they want. Okay? It's paramount that you get that at a very deep level. Every last one of you, I don't care what you're selling, whatever it is that you have in your business, you are a consultant to your prospective client. You're helping them make a decision about what they want. And as long as you stay in the space of partnership with them, they feel good about their connection with you, whether they buy anything or not. And you feel good that you did everything that you needed to do to help them make the best decision. So you are their consultant. I don't care if it's photographs. I don't care if it's books. I don't care if it's greeting cards. I don't care if it's cupcakes. I don't care what it is. You take on that role, own that role, because that's what it is. Know what you bring to the table, what you have to offer, and agree to be their consultant to help them make a decision. And that takes off this thing about sales and rejection. And if they say no, they say no. I have a friend of mine that said a great saying that I just love years ago. He says, some will, some won't, but someone's waiting. Okay, write that down. It's an important one. Some will, some won't, but someone else is waiting. Can they find you? Are you connecting with them? Okay. So what I want to do is I want to talk about, I went into sales blocks. I talked a little about money story. And I want you to, as I said before, I'm going to give you an action checklist. I'm going to actually post on the webpage tonight that you can go through these things. So I'm going to go over this kind of outline really briefly, then I'm going to open up for some Q&A here. First, you want to get clear about your money story. What beliefs are you carrying around with you? What decisions have you made surrounding that story? And then ask yourself, is this true now? Okay. And then look at how those decisions are affecting your current actions. Okay, those are your first three action steps. And I've outlined this for you in another template I'm going to be sending you tonight with the replay. Now I want to move into getting clear about what you want. You know, money, as I said, is a powerful tool. Like I said, we are at a place in history now where we're not even actually even using physical money anymore. Now it's become digital. But you know, we still use cash flow. But we're definitely not exchanging livestock and agricultural products for cars and homes and so on and so forth. So the thing I want to really share with you here is that when you are making your money goals or something that you want to create more cash flow for, as I mentioned at the top of the call in my story, is I never made enough space in my life for what I wanted. I always focused on what I needed. And I want you to start thinking about one thing that you want. It could be a lavish dinner out somewhere. It could be a new car. It could be a piece of a new equipment. It could be a trip somewhere. I shared my story in the outline of the template I gave you about my trip to Paris. I'm going to Paris for my 50th birthday this year. I'm committed to that process happening. I put myself out there, shared it with you, and now I'm sharing it with the world because it's important that when you make a decision about what you want, that you let the world know about it. There's no reason to keep it hidden. You need the world's support around you to help you create what it is that you want. Okay? So what I want you to do is to think about one thing that you want. You know, and I'm suggesting that you think about a thing that you want as opposed to a certain dollar amount that you want. The reason why is because when we attach feeling connected to the thing that we want, we will do things for something that we want that we can create an experience around. Like when I think about going to Paris, I think about the city, what it's going to smell like, what it's going to look like, what I'm going to see, where I'm going to eat, where I'm going to stay, all of that. If I'm just thinking about a dollar amount of money for some reason, what happens is that if anything comes into my life, like a bill comes up that's unexpected or some challenge comes up, that money can be easily diverted away from what I want to doing something else that pops up, or not even a bill, but something brighter and shinier pops up. You know what I'm saying? Then I can then decide, well, I'm not going to take that money. I'm going to use it for this now. And I've done it several times. That's why I can speak to this very clearly. So when you focus on a thing, an experience, a tangible good or an intangible experience that you want, your emotions get geared towards having that experience happen in your life. And you'll find that once you've again made that decision, it affects the actions that you take. Now, I'll share again with me. When I think about going to Paris, my thing is when I'm looking at where I'm spending my money every day, I can ask myself the question, do I really need this thing right now, or can I put that money towards going to Paris? See, you see how it is? Every decision now that I'm making that affects my actions relates to the thing that I said I want. And by looking at it every day, I create a Pinterest board for it so I can look at that Pinterest board, add new pictures to it. I can make phone calls. I can share it on Facebook and tell people I'm going and see what they recommend and all of this kind of thing. You know, it creates that energy around it to keep me in action towards remembering why I want the thing I want. And this is the second step. Why do you want the thing that you want? So first, get clear about what you want. Pick something that really lights you up. It could be a new apartment. It could be moving to a new city, a car, whatever it is. And then ask yourself, why do you want this thing? I can tell you for me very clearly, I turned 50 years old this year. I've never been to Europe. I want to go. I've never been before. It's what I want. I want to celebrate my birthday there. That's my why. Nothing more than that. So when I'm justifying why I'm directing my actions this way, I'm clear about what my why is. And then that directs now my next 3 to 5 action steps, which is step 3. So I create a special account to put money into. I create a Pinterest board to remind me visually about what I want to experience. I research how much the trip is going to cost me so that I have real numbers to attach to what this is. So when I can see where my money is going and how much of it I put towards this, and more to the point, what things I need to do in my business to create the money to have this experience. Okay? And I'll even take it a step further because I've seen it happen in my life as well. More often than not, when you become focused like that, it almost never ends up being as much as you thought it was going to be, and something else ends up happening that makes it come so much better than what you initially thought. But what you want to do is you want to move into action. That is key. That's key. Just don't let the vision be in your head and don't do anything with it. You've got to take action on it. And every day ask yourself, when you're making a decision about something, is this taking me one step closer to what I want, or is it taking me 2 steps back or further away? That's your moment-to-moment decision-making process. And if you start implementing that into your life, you'll start to see that you're getting closer to what you want. So if you're thinking about moving into a new apartment, go apartment shopping. Doesn't matter if you don't have 1 cent towards moving to a new apartment, just go look at new apartments. If you want to, you know, buy a new car, start test driving new cars. It doesn't matter if your bank account is negative 100. Go start test driving a new car tomorrow. If you're thinking about going to Paris, go to the bookstore and pick up a travel guide on Paris. Go to a French restaurant in your local town and have a French meal. Put $10, $20 aside towards that trip. But you got to do something. You can't sit still. This is the thing I want to really emphasize here. And as you do these things, you will start to see opportunities for you to bring in more to get you what you want. Once you develop that skill, you can apply that to anything else in your life that you want. So this is replicable. But I want you to operate it from a space of something that you feel connected to. Not just I tell you something, we all need to pay our bills, but paying bills every month isn't sexy. I'm just being blunt. You know, I mean, we need to pay them. I'm being honest here. But you know what? Paying a light bill isn't sexy. You want it. Now, if the lights aren't on, it might not be sexy. But I will say that paying bills is not motivating enough. That's a necessity. It's a need. I'm asking you, what do you want? And you deserve to have what you want. And increasing your cash flow is one of the ways to help you do that. So now you have an opportunity and a space to start documenting this and writing it down. And then in the weeks we spend together to help you get the things in your business in place, to help you bring in the cash flow to do those things that you want. Okay? So what I want to do is I want to open up here a little bit and see if any questions have come in that I can address. Okay, so one of the questions is, what about paying off debts? Is that what you want? If that's what you want, I'm going to be blunt here, damn Skippy, that's what you want. Okay, see those bills paid down. Write them all down so that you know what it is. Get yourself a financial advisor that can help you create a plan around how to get those debts paid down. Start putting money towards them every single month. See it happening. Feel it happening. And then take action on it. And when you're making decisions, when money comes in, where are you going with this money? Are you going to pay a bill with it, pay a debt down? Or are you going to take this money and go do something else that may not go back to your goal? Okay? So great question. I'm glad you asked that, Susan. Kim said, like you, Rodney, thank you. I like you too, Kim. Always felt guilty for making more than my dad. He's a very smart man, but always had some sort of glass ceiling that kept him from success. When we were siblings, we never learned more about money management or its value. Money scares me. I do not. This is a common one. A lot of people, money scares them. Money feels like something that's outside of them. It's a common story. It's not, you're not alone in this. It's a common story. A lot of us have this. The thing that I would say to you is, again, your dad's history with money is his. It's not yours. It's his. He made his choices based on what he saw, what was said to him. Okay? Money, you don't have to fear money, okay? And the reality of it is that you fearing it is keeping you, let me back this up for a second. Think about this. Again, we don't live in a society where we're exchanging beings and agricultural products for goods and services. We live in a world that we exchange cash for the things that we want, okay? Think about that energy that money scares you. Okay, just sit with that for just a second. If money scares you, that energy, you're wearing it when you're talking to people who might want to work with you. They even if they can't put their finger on it, they sense it. And I can almost guarantee you that you'll find the people who will try to lowball you on your price. You'll always find the ones that won't be interested in what you have to offer, which then reinforces the feeling that you can't handle money, that it's not available to you. Okay? You see how that decision is affecting your actions? And we're going to get real in these next 4 weeks. So I'm just giving you the heads up now. We're going to go there. But I will share this one piece with you now. And I just want to share this with you now in case you do have a sales meeting coming up. This is such a juicy part I want to share with you now. As you develop your internal confidence about sales and what I've shared with you today, tonight, about the truth behind a sales conversation is nothing more than asking someone to work with you, okay? When you ask someone to work with you and you know your value and you know what you are bringing to the table, and they are engaged with you, they're listening to what you're saying, and they're ready – to work with you. And if the time comes to quote your price, listen very closely to this. When it comes time to quote your price, look them in the eye clearly. Take a deep breath. Look them in the eye clearly. Know what your numbers are. We're going to get heavily into this in the next three sessions about knowing what your numbers are. So you know you're quoting your price from honesty. Quote your price to the prospective client. And once you say that number very clearly, with a smile on your face, confidently, close your mouth. Don't say anything else. Don't start trying to justify it. Don't start trying to find different ways you can repackage it or retool it. Give them the number and then close your mouth. Let them, and if there's silence that lasts for a minute, 2 minutes, don't let them talk next. Because they need to take a moment to sit with what you said. Now, if they, you know, if they were just like they're on point, you're right there with them and everything is moving smoothly, they'll go, yes, that's fine, let's go ahead and get started. Or they might need to sit back and think about it, because in their mind, they're trying to figure out, do I have the money for this? Where can I put the money together for this? Okay, maybe this is going to work for me. Okay, whatever. But let them process that in their mind. You're done. You're done until they open up their mouth and say what their next thing is. And then when they say what their thing is, whatever's coming up for them, address only the question that they asked and nothing more. You do not need to resell them again. Okay? Quote your number, close your mouth, let them talk. When they say what the issue is for them, address only the issue they brought up. I'm not going to go into it any further than that tonight because I'm saying we're going to talk about that in the next 2 and 3 and 4 calls, especially on call number 4. But this is just a preview of what we're going to get into about having sales conversations that actually get you the business that you want and the money that you want to make. Okay, so I'm just giving you a little preview of that one right now. Okay, let's see. Now, Lita asks, she says, or growing up, people were always allowed to approach my family about money, but we were not allowed to approach. Okay, you see how that drives things? Ask to get or discuss with them. I realize that I continue that in all areas. That's it. That's it. Other people can approach you, but you can't approach them. But see, a closed mouth doesn't get fed. You have to tell somebody you're hungry. You have to tell somebody that you want to work with them. You have to communicate in your marketing, your message, be it an ad, a Facebook post, a tweet, a phone conversation, a gallery show. If you stand there and you don't say anything, how can they know what you have to offer? You see, but that is affecting your decision-making process. So as you're learning, as you're seeing this now, because you wrote it down, it's brought to the surface. So I want to give you a little bit of exercise over the next week. As you're going through your interactions this week and something comes up that challenges you, ask yourself, is this my old story? Is this the thing that I wrote in the chat box with Rodney on Tuesday? And see how many times that comes up for you. And then say, but you know what? Today's a new day. Susan, Kim, Lita, you know, Ira, Sarah, all of you, you now have the option, the choice, the decision to make a new choice from consciousness. You see how powerful this is for you? So this is something that I really want to get into with you, and I think it's going to be a very powerful conversation. I want to look over at the phone real quick, because we're almost, can't believe it, not almost an hour into the top of the call, but I want to see who's on the – if you have any more questions for me, please type them in. I'm going to move right into some more Q&A time, and let's see here. What I want to do is – I'm going to open up. I know Ira earlier. had like muted him. I see that Lita's on the line as well. What I'm going to do is I'm going to open up the line. If you don't have a question for me, I'll just remute you back again. But I really want to take this time to talk with you for a minute and address any questions live. So I'm going to unmute Ira, then I'm going to move over to, I see Lita. If you don't, that's fine. Like I said, I see you in the chat box, but I know Ira's on the phone, so let's do that now. So, hi, Ira. Do you have any questions for me that you'd like to ask, and how is everything landing for you tonight?
Oh, wow. Great stuff. It's sort of like I have this money story I've been carrying around since I was a kid. I have my own story. I'm not quite comfortable yet in sharing it, but
no problem.
It's become more and more apparent that it's causing me problems and limiting me, and I'm committed to, you know what Kanai is, constant and never-ending improvement. I'm committed to being better every day than I was yesterday, and I just here, you know, I know there's a, it's sort of like we've entered a tent or a building, and, you know, deliberately, intentionally, that we want to be better, we want to be more, you know, more powerful around money. And I'm just, you know, you walk out in the center ring with your top hat and whatever, and, you know, you're saying this stuff, and it's like you're sort of lifting the fog a little bit. So I'm very receptive to what you're saying, and I feel like it's going to be very helpful. And I just, you know, I'm just letting it wash over me, but it's very, you know, it's exciting, and at the same time, you know, it's sort of like you've got this thing that you've been dragging around with you for the past umpteen years called your money story, and then all of a sudden somebody says, hey, you don't have to drag that around anymore. It's like dragging around a bag of concrete, and you're telling us that we don't have to drag the concrete around. We can if we want to, but maybe there's something, a better way of being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that, Ira, and being so upfront about it. You know, and again, I don't ask anyone to share anything that makes them uncomfortable, but I feel that as you feel comfortable, you know, opening up and sharing about what's coming up for you, and even if you want to just sit with what I've shared this week as you listen to the replay, think about what that bag of, as you just mentioned, Ira, that bag of concrete, what, you know, you can either choose, that's the thing, you said it beautifully, you can either choose to drag it or you can let it go. But be clear that you're choosing to drag it. And understanding that gives you so much more freedom because you can go, you know what, I just don't. For me, I'll share this one piece with you. I used to smoke when I was in college. And I wasn't one of those people that needed to go do the patch and all that stuff or get the Nicorette and all those things. One day I just didn't like the way food tasted when I smoked. And I said, I don't need to do this anymore. And I just stopped smoking. I think we make letting go of things that don't serve us so much heavier than it is when it's literally nothing more than, I don't need to do that anymore.
The challenge is that I know I've got this thing I'm dragging around with me, but I don't know really, you know, I've asked myself, I have a therapist, I've asked my wife, you know, I don't know what it is, where it comes from, how it manifests. I just know that I do things that are not in my best interest because I have this freak out thing about money, and I don't know what it is or where it comes from. And it's sort of like, I feel like I need to say, well, you know, it's my father's fault. You know, he never taught me about, or you know, or stuff like that. And of course it's nobody's fault but mine. But also there's, you know, my therapist tells me that when you're little, what's going on in your household is your modeling. So if you have people that are, you know, somewhat off the wall financially, you take that in and it becomes your new your normal or something. And, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, you know, we don't, when we're kids, we don't know enough to put verbiage around what's going on. We just see what's going on. And like you said, we model it and we react to it and we make, like I said, conscious or unconscious decisions about how we're going to be about it and however that appeared. And I think there becomes a place where a lot of us kind of just zone out about it because we just assume, as you said, I think you mentioned with your therapist, was that, you know, it becomes the normal that you understand. You don't have to explain it. You just understand it. That's the normal that you understand.
It's. I don't know if I understand it. In fact, I don't understand it, and I'd like to understand it. It's like, what is it about this whole thing? I happen to be Jewish, and there's a wonderful word, mishigas. It's like all the stuff you drag around with you is your mishigas. But I have this stuff that I drag around. I don't know really what it is, how it affects me, but I just know that it costs me now in real life because I've got stuff in my, you know, way of being that is faulty. And one thing I'm hoping to find out from our 4 weeks together, and the minute, you know, I jumped on this when Selena, you know, when I heard about it, is that I'm hoping to discover what it is that what's in my bag of concrete that I'm dragging around and how I can release it and fly like a bird.
Love that. Love that. You know, what I'd like to do is for every one of you, and again, Ira, thank you so much for being sharing. And you were the first person that signed up for the program. So
really?
You were definitely right on. Oh, yes, you were the first one to come through.
In spite of PayPal.
In spite of PayPal, precisely. And I know, and I apologize again for everyone who had issues with PayPal. I don't know what was going on with them, but anyway, you know, we'll figure that out. But the thing that I do want to share is that as you go into the week, you know, a lot of things were probably brought up for you tonight that may be things that are very painful or things you're just not quite sure about or unclear about. And what I do want to leave you with is that you don't have to have it all figured out tonight. And that you know, you might have to process and work through this over the next 7 days, and we come back next week, we'll go even deeper, because I'm not letting this part of the conversation go because I know that it drives everything else that we do over the next few weeks. So it may not be something that you can put words around it right now, but what I would love to leave you with is to allow yourself to be open to an answer coming to you. And leave it at nothing more than that. Just go on about your life, do the things that you do, you know, go through the worksheet, get clear about what it is that you want, and then just say, I'm open to the answer coming to me. And let it, and it may not come up until week 3 or 4, but know that it is, if you ask for it, it's coming. It is coming. It's coming because you raised your hand and you said yes to yourself and you're here tonight. So I applaud you for that. I applaud every one of you for that. Because it takes, you know, it takes courage to dig into this. Money stuff is heavy. You know, it's heavy. And, you know, kind of like that bag of concrete. But it's heavy. And a lot of us don't want to deal with it. We want to be sleep around it. And so, you know, I want all of you to give yourself a, you know, a little pat on the back and say, you know what, I may not have all this figured out. I may not know where all this is going to go. I may not have all the answers in session 1 or session 2 or session 3, but I know there's an answer there for me. And, of course, we do this open Q&A each time. You know, you can always ask me a question, and I will do my best to address it and help you get it figured out, because I want you to be empowered, every one of you to be empowered, to know that you do now have complete control of your life and where you go and the choices that you make, because people out there want what you have to offer. And the one thing, if I can say to any, all of you, is that I want you all to not hide and put yourselves out there so people can see what you have to offer and that they can say yes to you and that you can ask for what you want in the amount that you want and say it with confidence and get it because you deserve it. Period. Nothing more. That's it. So I thank you. Thank you so much for sharing. And like I said, you know, keep coming back each week, and I'm gonna do my best to help you figure it out. And keep the process.
Can I add one brief thing?
Yes, please do. Please do.
What you said earlier about partnering with, you know, with clients and what have you, and I've, you know, since I've been a photographer, which is decades, I've gone from, you know, being a salesman, you know, do you have something for me, do you have something for me? And a friend of mine who's somewhat learned, it changed my whole way of being, and it's sort of like when I speak to a client or email a client now, it's like, let me know how I can help you make a difference. How can I support you? It's not like, hire me, I'm a nice guy and I take good pictures. It's like, how can I help you solve some problems? How can I help you make it simple, easy, and great? What can I do for you? And that, it's amazing. It's the key to the castle.
It is. It is. Isn't it amazing? It's so amazing because you see the shift in saying that as opposed to, what do you have for me?
Mm-hmm.
You see, just, I mean, it literally is that simple and yet that powerful. Just to say, what can I do for you? What do you need? How can I help you?
And I really want to help them because if I can help them, they'll like me and maybe they'll tell their friends or call me again and go, gee, you know, he's a nice guy and he takes good pictures and he really helped me.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. Absolutely. You got it. I mean, you see, the fact that you already know this, it'll make the next lessons that we go through, you already have that point of reference. So what Ira has shared to everyone listening here is the cornerstone of what we're going to be talking about over the next 3 weeks. Like I said, we're not abandoning this conversation that we started tonight, but we'll use that as our template to carry into the next three things that we talk about. Because that's it. And especially in this day and age now where we have so much stuff pushed at us every single moment of the day, the fact that you understand that language and that you use it from a place of honesty and sincerity, you already are going to create what Tony Robbins calls a pattern interrupt. Because everyone's used to someone coming at them wanting something from them. So that radar is already on. People are wearing that every single moment of the day. They're expecting it. They get up from the moment they wake up in the morning until they go to bed at night, expecting someone to come at them with something that they want from them.
They keep on coming.
You know? So when you come in with something from a very different energy and a very different place and different conversation, it just stops them dead in the tracks because they're like, oh, you really want to know what I want? You know? It shifts it. It makes them not feel so they're not on guard anymore. And once the guard's down, then the space for the conversation that you can then, as I said at the call, co-partner with them happens. It emerges. And that person feels safe with you and protected by you. And that you are looking out for their best interest. You are their consultant.
Because that's in my best interest.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I have to tell you, I wrote a book for Amphoto that came out in 1997 called The Business of Commercial Photography. It's out of print. I don't make any money from it or anything, but you can buy it on eBay or Amazon if you Google my name or The Business of Commercial Photography. Anyway, I interviewed 30 photographers, famous people that I got to pick, and asked them, you know, how they got into the business and how they got started, and it was all about how to set up your business. And I didn't know this then. I was still the salesman. And, you know, if anybody's it's a good book to keep in the bathroom. There's a lot of good reading in it. And you can buy it for like $3 on eBay. But it's if I had known this then, it would have made a big difference. It took me a long time to figure this out.
Wow.
So I salute you.
Well, thank you. And you know what? I'm glad you brought up the book, and you'll definitely you gave me – for me, all of you will learn with me over the next 4 weeks. If you give me a seed of something, I'll find a way to help you make money with it. So I'm glad you brought the book up. And as a matter of fact, I think I do remember that, Ira. So you'll definitely want to be listening for the bonus call because I'm going to be talking about multiple income streams. And I do believe there's still life in that book. It may not be in the way that you're currently selling it, but there's still life in that book. So keep that in your mind as we move forward.
Thank you. Actually, I'm not selling it, but it's out there.
Okay.
That's interesting, yeah.
It's okay. You don't have to be selling it right now. It's okay. It's okay. Just trust me.
I definitely trust you.
there's definitely life there. So I'm going to go ahead and mute you. Thank you again, Ira, for sharing. And I'm going to give everyone – so for those who are on the phone, I'm still kind of figuring out the whole system here a little bit. But what I'm just seeing is that if you want to ask me a question, just hit *2 on your phone to raise your hand. And I will see that you have a question you want to ask, and I will unmute you. And then you can ask your question because we're going to be doing Q&A for the remainder of our time together. So thank you again, Ira. I appreciate you coming. and we're going to have we're going to get some work done the next 4 weeks. So I'm excited to have you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Take care. All right. So I mute you again. Great. Wonderful. Thank you so much. You know, this is something I did want to say at the top of the call, and I forgot to say, and I'll just say it now, is that I want you to get everything you need out of this program, and the way to have that happen is for you to communicate and for you to be interactive. This is an interactive. This isn't just me sitting here for an hour, you know, rattling on, although I could talk forever. But, you know, for me, it's also you asking me questions and getting interactive and getting real. These are your calls. These are your sessions. Even when I repeat this class, as I'm sure I will, I'll be doing it with a new batch of people. So these recordings are yours. And go back and listen to them, you know, as many times as you want, because you may hear me say something or something that you ask that you thought, oh, yeah, I thought about that, you know, and I want to go back and listen to that part again. So, again, and I am making the replays available for download, so you will have them into your, you can put them on your iPod or have them for, you know, for future. So if anyone has a phone call, if they're on the phone line, they want to ask me a question, hit star 2 to raise your hand, and I will see it and I will unmute you. I will go back over to the webcast real quick while I'm waiting on that and see if there's any questions that have come in that I can address. And wonderful. So Susan says, I think you're getting as vulnerable as you do where the lessons are. So be vulnerable, baby. I will. Trust me, I will. I suggest that we talk about everyone's week first before we get to the next lesson. Let's see. I was told if you become, this is a question that came in. I'm not sure who from. Maybe this is still Susan. I'm not sure. I was told if you become too rich, you will lose your friends who won't appreciate things anymore and may become jaded. And you will have problems trusting others because you will wonder why people like you only for your money. That's a huge one. And I'm glad, I don't know who asked this. Maybe this was Susan. I don't know for sure here. But I'm glad that you asked that question because it's a really powerful one. And, you know, it's really interesting. So many people think that money stuff or lack of money comes from not feeling deserving of money. Not feeling worthy or not trusting value and all of those kinds of things. And that's a huge piece of it. But I honestly believe a lot of us hold ourselves back is because we fear becoming more successful and what that's going to mean to everyone else around us. And I'll tell you something, it's a valid fear. I don't want to say fear, so I don't want to plant fear, but it's a valid idea. I'll put it like that. It's a valid idea because, in truth, people around you will change as a result. Well, let me back that up because I don't necessarily think that's entirely true, too. It's not that they'll change. Money only makes more of who you already are come to the surface, whether it's your money in your pocket or whether it's the money or people's reaction to you once you have it. So whoever they or you are before it came, it's only going to magnify who you or they become once the money is there. All right? So what I want you to keep in mind as you move forward with this, and I'm so glad that whoever asked this question asked the question, because money in and of itself, its goodness or evilness is only measured by the person who holds it. Okay, we go around saying things like money is bad and money is evil and people who are rich are assholes and all this other kind of stuff. And, you know, there are people out there that don't have two cents to rub together that can be an asshole. And excuse my French here, but we're going to go there. I'm just letting you know now. You know, I've seen the poorest of the poor be difficult, and I've seen people who are richer than rich be difficult. It's, you know, the money doesn't matter. The money just makes you more of who you already are or what you already are being. All right? But I want you to challenge yourself to take it a step further and think about how many things that you can do for people. Because, again, you wouldn't be on a call like this if that was the energy that you were running. You wouldn't be on a call like this. This would have been no interest to you if you were a person who only wants to make money because you want to manipulate somebody with it. And I would venture to say that probably the closest people to you, I may be stretching here a little bit, might not get too weird with you once you start making a lot more money. At least those, but what it will do, money is a clarifier. It's a clarifier. So if you ever really want to know how people are really feeling about you, once the money comes in, you'll get a clear sign very clearly. The reason why getting clarity around money as you are creating it becomes paramount is because clarity, and write this as a writer downer, clarity will become your guiding light. It'll become your lamppost that you will use and how you make decisions and take actions. Because I can guarantee you that there are going to be people that are going to fall away. They're going to fall away. There's some you may have to help them by showing them the door, and then there are going to be some that are just going to drop off. But that's their stuff. It's not yours. It's their stuff, okay? Because money brings up stuff for people quickly, all right? So a part of your process in getting clear about it is getting clear about who you're surrounding yourself with. All right? And when you start to see things that aren't adding up for you, comments that are made that you're not quite sure you're feeling comfortable with those comments, things that just don't seem to feel quite right to you, don't be afraid to acknowledge them for yourself because, again, money is about acknowledgement, and we're going to talk about that next. Money is about acknowledgement. And acknowledging when something doesn't feel good to you so that you can make the decision whether or not you need to move away or have a conversation and move away or reevaluate the relationship. Okay? Again, it's about communication. Money is about communication, communicating. Can we work together? Now, when I first said that, I said, can we work together, meaning in the context of a client that you want to work with. But that can also be in a relationship with a friend or with your child, you know, or a parent or spouse or whatever, you know, because you're always going to have to get people to work with you, whether it's about a direct money exchange or whether it's about working with you to help you stay focused and clear so you can do the work you need to do. So being able to have these conversations and getting that down now is extremely key because you're going to be revisiting this over and over and over and over again for years after these calls are concluded. As you make more, as you create more, as you step more into yourself and you grow more, people around you, you're going to change. People around you are going to change. And you need to have your eyes on so that you can see when things need to be addressed. Because lack of addressing things is what causes blockages. So even if you have more money, it doesn't mean you still won't have blocks. You just have to become better about understanding how to navigate them. So I want to help you get a navigation plan in place so that you can navigate yourself and you can navigate the people around you, the ones you want to work with and the people who are in your life on a personal level, meaning family, spouses, and so on and so forth. So I hope that answered your question. Okay. Now I want to move into some of the homework I gave you. One of the things that I did, actually at the encouragement of a really dear friend of mine, was a spreadsheet that I gave you access to, which I call my cash flow acknowledgement log, or cash acknowledgement form. And I'll tell you why I created that, and I'll tell you some of the things that have happened to me since I started using that form. You know, for me, as I said at the top of tonight's class, is that I was very unconscious about money in a lot of respects. As long as I had what I needed, I didn't really focus anything on it more than that. As long as the bills were paid, I didn't really pay much attention. The reason why that form is so powerful to me is because I find that more often than not, we have money coming to us from sources all the time, whether it's from wages or whether it's found or whether it's gifts or however it comes in. And we don't ever acknowledge what's coming in, okay? We just, you know, the money, now because everything is digital for the most part, we're not even, rarely even handling hard currency anymore. So what happens, usually a deposit's made to our account, let's say from a client or something of that sort, and that money is spoken for before it even arrives to our account, and it's transferred out as fast as it came in, so we're never connecting to it. You see, we're not even looking at it. We just see that our balance was this amount on this day, this deposit came in, and then it went right back out. And we're never acknowledging what we actually have received, okay? Now, this isn't necessarily at this point of the conversation about holding on to it. It's about just acknowledging that you got it in the first place. So by getting into the habit, and this is a challenge I want to give every single one of you to do, whether you'd use the spreadsheet I gave you, or whether you use a journal or a, you know, the back of an envelope, just whatever it is, do something that you can see it every single day. And document every single cent that comes to you, okay? Write down the amount, write down the date it came in, write down who it came from, and what you received it for. So was it for a job that you did? Was it a gift? Was it found on the street? Whatever it was. Once you start making that log and you start seeing what's coming in, you no longer can say that I never make any money. And not saying that you say, you might say that, but it's more of a feeling than a saying that you use, words you use. But what you want to be able to look at is seeing where all the sources that money is coming in from you, coming to you from, okay? So you can go back and look at that and go, wow, I've got money coming in from this, I've got money coming in from this. Okay, you've got hard numbers. Money likes clarity. Money likes to know where it's come from and what it's being used for. And so many creative people tend to want to be blind around this. They don't want to see it. But money loves acknowledgement, which is why I gave you that form. It wants to know that you're paying attention to it. Okay? That's why I said in the call with Selena, the bills you have in your wallet, how are they placed in that wallet? Are they in order by denomination? Actually, I believe that one of the students on the call, he wasn't able to be here tonight, said he actually ironed his money after the call. I thought that was amazing. I love that. But money wants to know that it's being respected and treated well, you know. And so I'm not suggesting all of you, you know, whip out the ironing board, but I am saying that you take whatever it is. If it's $2, are they facing the same way? Is one facing back and one facing forward? Or is one upside down? Put them all the same way. Smooth them out so that they're smooth and clean. Get your change all in one collective spot. Okay? Acknowledge what you have, whether it's $2, whether it's 5 cents. If you bought a lottery ticket and you won $5, write down the $5. Once you start acknowledging where money is coming from, that first of all, acknowledging that you have money, that it's coming to you, however small the denomination, you are now saying, I'm paying attention to you. I have now been asleep around this for a while, but you know what? In this class, with these people, for the next 4 weeks, I'm going to pay attention to you. I'm going to give you the attention that you need so that you will pay attention to me. Okay? Think about how powerful that is. However, you know, I think for some of us, we've had sort of a very rocky relationship with money. And, you know, a rocky relationship, you know, like a petulant child reacts to get your attention. And it keeps doing stuff to get your attention. Now, some of you have children, so you know this. But when you start paying attention to it, it calms down. It starts to work with you. So I want you to view it as nothing more than that right now. You just need to start paying attention to it so that it can start paying attention to you. And tell you how to get more of me. You see, this isn't woo-woo here. This is just basic common sense stuff that most people don't talk about. You know, and I'll say this too as we're talking about this. You know, again, I gifted all of you the masterclass as a bonus. Go back and listen to the conversation with Joetta Johnson. She goes into great detail about this conversation around money. Go back and listen to that recording. I wanted this to be a continuation of the masterclass. So go back and listen to that replay with her because she talks a great deal about that. It's a very powerful call, I found. And so start paying attention to money, how it's coming in, what you're doing with it. Acknowledge it that it's coming into you. I'll tell you right now, since I started doing this, and I'll tell you right now, flat out, I hardly ever find money. Hardly ever. I mean, it's just like I used to have a cousin that would find fives and $100 bills all over the place. That just was not me. When I started acknowledging it, paying attention to it by putting it in my log, my housemate found $17, and she gave it to me. She said, here you go. I was like, and I wrote it in my journal. You know, it's small amounts, but it all adds up. You know, I started noticing my royalties coming in from my Kindle books. I wrote those things down, sometimes small amounts, sometimes large amounts, but I wrote them down. I now have a new client that started working with me, and she wasn't able to pay the full amount up front, but every time she sees me, she gives me a portion of what she wants to hire me for. She's never done that before, ever. And I've said nothing to her. I haven't said to her to start paying installments on your agreement with me. Just every time she sees me, she hands me money without me asking. This stuff works. I'm telling you, this stuff works. Start writing it down. You've got to get clear about what is coming in. Money likes acknowledgement, clarity, and to know that you're paying attention to it so it can pay attention to you. That's what I want to leave you with as we wrap up the end of our call tonight. So I'm going to check in and with the chat and see if there's any last questions that have come in. Let's see, nothing here so far. And I'm going to go back over to the phone line real quick and see if there's any questions that have come up anyone wants to ask. If you have a question for me, just hit star 2 and raise your hand, and I will acknowledge you there. But if not, I feel that I feel pretty complete. I think we got everything we needed to get done for this week. So I want you to go back, listen to this replay. Again, it's going to be up instantly. As soon as the call concludes, it'll be there for you. Download it. I will upload to the member area by tonight or tomorrow at the latest. I do want you to do this, though. Go through that cash flow creation secrets worksheet. Write down something that you want money for. Think of a particular goal that you have in mind. Put as much detail in it as possible. I want you to also look at some action steps that you can do. Write them down. If you are involved in the Facebook group and you feel comfortable in doing that, share some of that. I want that group to continue our interaction so it's not just us being quiet between now and next week. Put those down in there as well. I'll go back and look at them and address them. And the last thing I wanted to leave you with, again, is part 3. This is the part that's really important, is do some inventory before we get started next week. I want you to write down how you're making money now. And if it's from more than one source, and it should be, if not, we will be talking about how to create more sources, list those in the spaces on that worksheet. Again, multiple income sources, multiple income streams is important. We now must have a portfolio of income streams, not just one way to make money. So you want to start writing those down. If you don't have anything but one way right now, that's fine. Write down that one thing. And then I want you to write down who are you currently serving. Who is your clientele right now? And this one I want you to write out in detail who that person is. Like, give me a snapshot of who that person is. Maybe what their gender is, how they're buying from you right now, what their wants, what their needs are. Because we're going to be diving into this deeper into the course and how we'll reach more people like them. And if I can give you another bonus tip is – check with someone that you've worked with already, who's already hired you in the past or paid you for service, and ask them why they chose to work with you. Out of everyone that they could have picked to work with, they chose you. There was something about you that they picked. I want to give you a challenge to hop on the phone with them over this next week and say, you know, I want to know why you chose me, because I want to be able to serve more people like you. Now, mind you, this comes up if it's someone you want to work with. If it's someone you don't want to work with, and you don't want to ask them, obviously. But if it's someone that you do want to work with, you know, say, I want to learn how to better serve customers and clients like you, because I really enjoyed our work together. So this will help us define where more clients are going to come from in the future. So definitely do part three of that worksheet and do that cash acknowledgement log. Again, use their spreadsheet or do it on a journal. And just start noticing what comes up for you. I have a strong feeling that you'll start finding yourself finding more money coming in. So with that said, I don't see any other calls coming through. I'm going to check the webcast one last time before we go and see if any new questions have come in. The MasterClass password isn't working for me. So what I will do, Lita, is I will email you again directly, but let me see, just double check here and make sure. I think it's called Cash Flow Go, C-A-S-H Flow, L-O-W-G-O, and the C is uppercase. And you should be able to get into it that way. Email me at Rodney@RodneyWashington if that doesn't work, and I will I'll send it. But if you have the link to get into the website, you should be able to. And also, I think the link for the spreadsheet, if you're looking at the actual webcast page, that should be there as well. Now, again, you have to. It is set up for Excel. So if you don't have Excel on your computer, you will need to upload that to Google Documents. That's where I created it, is inside Google Documents. I don't have Microsoft Excel either. But if you upload it to Excel, it should open up as a spreadsheet there. So try that and see if that works and let me know. If any of you have any questions, again, you can email me privately, or I really suggest, if you're fine with that, communicate with me on Facebook, on the private group, because I will be checking that daily. Bring any questions that you have for me, or, you know, that you want to have me bring to the next week's call. And next week, we are going to be moving right into our customers, connecting with buyers, and how we're having conversations with them. So with that said, if there's nothing else that I can address for you tonight, I will see you all next Tuesday. So we're meeting every Tuesday from now until June the 18th. June 18th will be our bonus class on multiple income streams and how you can take the core thing you do and multiply it in multiple ways. So you want to be on for that. That's a bonus call that I'm doing. I will see you all next week on Tuesday, again at 5 p.m. And I'm grateful and honored to have every last one of you with me, and we're gonna get our sleeves rolled up and get working so we can start bringing in more cash flow. So with that said, everyone have a great evening. I will see you all next Tuesday at 5. Have a good night. I'm going to unmute the line real quick and say good night to everyone. Good night, everyone.
Good night, Rodney. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. Good night.
The moderator has left the conference.